This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Because sisters are coming this way. Fair enough. We'll do. We'll do, we'll do. So before we begin, just wanted to review quickly what we covered last week. So we spoke about al-Asma al-Husna, the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the importance of getting to know these names. And speaking on the importance of getting to know these names, there's a particular hadith. It's very famous. that speaks about the importance of the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Does anybody remember what it was? The names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's a hadith that's really well known, not to make anybody feel bad or anything. Everybody knows it. No, I'm kidding. It's a very popular hadith on the virtue of knowing the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, to Allah belong how many names? 99. Mi'a illa wahida. Right? 100 except for one. Whoever does ihsa. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. He says, whoever does this word ihsa, which we talked over some of the meanings of it last week, that person will enter into paradise, right? And so he said ihsa last week has three meanings. The scholars differed with regards to it, but it has three general meanings. The first was to figure out what they are, right? To seek them out, to learn what those words are. And so that's why in Islamic history, many scholars have tried to present these are what the 99 names are. And they differed over what the 99 names are, right? But that's part of the process of ihsa, trying to figure out what those names are. The second was to do what we're trying to do here now, which is to understand what these names mean. What does Ar-Rahman mean? What does Allah mean? What does Al-Malik mean? What does Al-Quddus mean? What do these names mean? And the third is, after you understand what these names are, is that you ask Allah by these names, that you call upon Allah by these names, so that you are asking Allah for something and you are using the appropriate name for that. It increases your manners with Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, the greatest example of manners with Allah Azza wa Jal are the prophets. The prophets, their manners with Allah is the highest. And so something that I want you to pay attention to is, for example, the conversation that happens between Allah and Isa ibn Maryam on the Day of Judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى. When Allah says, O Isa, أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ, did you tell the people to take me and my mother as gods besides Allah? Is that what you said? You told everybody, hey, worship me and worship my mom? Is that what you did? And then Isa alayhi salam will reject categorically. He'll say, Subhanak, far absolved are you from these imperfections. I had no right to say, I would not say something that I had no right. إن كنت قلته فقد علمته. If I had said that, you would have known it. تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك. I know what you know what I conceal, and I don't know what you conceal. إنك أنت علام الغيوب. You are the knower of the unseen. And then Isa defends himself, right? He says, you know, I was a witness over them as long as I was among them. And then he continues, but then he says a phrase which is very interesting. He says, إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك. He says, if you punish these people for saying what they said, they are your slaves, they're your servants, they're your creation. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and if you are to forgive them, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are al-aziz, you are the mighty, and you are the wise. Now the question is, Isa is saying, عليه السلام, if you are to forgive them, then you are the mighty and the wise. Now, if you were invoking forgiveness, wouldn't you say you are al-ghafoor al-raheem? Isn't that what you would say? You would say, وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Right? But then the question is, why doesn't he say that? Why does he say, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the mighty and you are the wise. Why does he pick the appropriate name? Like, what's the thought process? Who wants to take a shot? Yes. Okay. But he's saying with regards to if you were to forgive them, these people right here, this creation of yours, if you're to forgive them, if you're to punish them, they belong to you. They're your property. You can do whatever you want. But if you're to forgive them, then you are the mighty and you are the wise. He doesn't say, if you are to forgive them, you are the forgiving and you are the merciful. Look at how precise this wording is. What do you got? Yes. Okay. So you're saying that he has the mighty, he has the power to forgive them, and he is the wise, so he knows what's in their heart. Any other takers on why Isa alayhi salam uses that particular phrasing? We're mentioning this with regards to when you are invoking Allah Azza wa Jal, when you understand the meanings of these words, you are better able to ask, and it increases your adab with Allah Azza wa Jal, your manners with Allah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so Allah Azza is the mighty, no one's going to force his hand, right? And Allah Azza is the wise, so if he forgives them, then it is out of his knowledge and his wisdom. I want you to look bigger picture. This context, this conversation is happening on what day? On the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, is Allah Azza wa Jalla happy or is Allah angry on the day of judgment? Happy? Adam alayhi salam, in the long hadith of Shafa'ah, when the people come up to him and they say, intercede, start the day of judgment, Adam alayhi salam will say, My Lord is angry today, an anger that he has never had before, nor will he ever have after. Like, this is the day of judgment. This is the day that we were promised. And so Isa alayhi salam, in those moments, it's like, for example, when you have a person who is absolutely just and fair and kind and merciful and things like that. And on the day where they have been wronged and they finally are seeking retribution. And that person who they are seeking retribution from is completely wrong. And they are right to be punished. And you come in between them. And you're like, oh, just forgive. It's like, if they forgive, it's out of their own wisdom. If they forgive, they don't need you to invoke. That is not the time for you to play middleman. And Isa alayhi salam recognizes that this is not the time for him to play middleman in between Allah Azza wa Jal and his creation. On that day, his job and adab with Allah Azza wa Jal dictates that he step away from being in between Allah Azza wa Jal and anyone, and to place himself firmly on the side of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm not in between you and anybody. If you punish them, they belong to you. If you forgive them, it's out of your own might, and it is out of, I'm not going to pretend that I'm more merciful than you are. And I'm not going to pretend that I have more forgiveness for creation than you do. And so he's saying, if you punish them, it is completely out of your prerogative. They are your property, and if you are to forgive them, then you are the mighty and you are the wise. And so knowing the names of Allah Azza wa Jal increases your mannerisms with Allah Azza wa Jal, that you call upon Allah Azza wa Jal by the most appropriate name for whatever it is that you desire. So we're going to jump right into Al-Malik. And Al-Malik has three names that are all related to each other. The first is Al-Malik, the second is Al-Malik, and the third is Al-Malik. So you have Malik, you have Malik, and you have Malik. And all three of them are in the Quran. As for Al-Malik, it's in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. So a bunch of names are all listed, and Al-Malik is one of them. Also, it's in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, and in another recitation, Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Malik is mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. It's also mentioned in Surah Al-Nas, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Just a quick tangent, Surah Al-Nas and Surah Al-Fatiha come full circle. So you have Surah Al-Nas, where Allah says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Oh, sorry, Surah Al-Nas goes how? How does it go? I was just checking. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, right? So Surah Al-Fatiha goes, Alhamdulillah. So you have Rabb, you have Malik, you have Ilah. Then you have Surah Al-Fatiha that goes, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, right? The same word. Maliki Yawm al-Din, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship. They're basically saying, you are our ilah. You alone do we worship, and you alone we seek for help. So between Al-Fatiha and Surah An-Nas, you have this beautiful circle between the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jalla says Malik in Surah Al-Hashr and Surah An-Nas. Allah Azza wa Jalla says Malik in Malik Yawm al-Din. Also in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And the verse continues. Allah says, say, O Allah, the Malik, the owner, the possessor of all mulk, of all dominions, of everything that can be possessed. You grant the possession to whomever you wish, and you take it away from whoever you wish. And the verse goes on. So how is Allah's mulk, and also al-malik? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ ثِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Allah says that the believers are going to be in jannat, they're going to be in gardens, وَنَهَرٍ and rivers. And this verse, this next verse, to me is completely untranslatable. It's just the vivid imagery that it paints. I don't know how you can possibly translate it in English. It says, فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. In a place of truth, عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ, with a malik, a possessor of ability or a possessor of ownership, مُقْتَدِرٍ, with great ability. Like, it doesn't do the same at all. But anyway, malik is mentioned there. So you have these three names. They're all related to the issue of dominion or kingdom. Allah's kingdom, as compared to everybody else's, and Allah's ownership compared to everybody else's, our ownership is all temporary. It's limited to a time and it's limited to a place. So take any king on earth, right? You have the king of Jordan, the king of Saudi Arabia, the queen of England. They're restricted to places, very small places also. So they have boundaries to their kingdom. As Allah Azza wa Jalla is Rabbil Alameen, He is the Lord of the worlds, and He is the King of kings, and that He is the King of everything. So number one, you have the places themselves. They are limited in their kingdom. The second is their time. Everybody, whether it's my ownership of my house, or my ownership of my car, or my ownership of my phone, as soon as I bought it, before it was the possession of somebody else. If I took it without paying for it, I would have been arrested for doing that. Or I sell it, and now it's the possession of somebody else. And so if I try to take it again, even though it was my car last week, if I try to take it again, I get arrested for it. Well, how come? Because it's the ownership has transferred. However, the ownership of Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't transfer ever. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the owner of the heavens and the earth forever. And so everybody else, their ownership is limited and it's temporary. The greatest kings, the greatest owners, the most wealthy, you take all of them, and you'll find that they have a moment in time, and then they disappear. The greatest of them. You know, sometimes you think about these kings that lived hundreds of years ago and thousands of years ago, and you think about their power, and it's really mind-boggling. Yani, if people have delusion with the power that they have now, you take any president of any country, any tyrant, and they're delusional, right? They really believe that they own the resources of their land. They really believe that they own the service of their people. They really believe these things. And yet, even then, in the 21st century, the world that we're living in, they still don't have the level of delusion that was afforded to the old kings. Like, the old kings had it better. Being a tyrant was much easier back then. There was no human rights charters. There was no groups monitoring your abuses. There were no journalists who were adversarial to you and trying to expose you. There was none of that. Fir'aun would simply say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Done. I am your Lord the Most High. Hey, Egypt, don't you see that all of you belong to me? And these rivers flow underneath my feet? The Namrud, who says, Ibrahim alayhi salam says to him, my Lord creates life and brings death. And he says, oh, I do that too. I know he will meet. Like, you see the level of delusion that these guys had, because their ownership was more, I don't want to say it was more perfect, but it was greater than the ownership and the power that modern day tyrants have. Nonetheless, you take these figures who literally enslaved their populations and usurped their wealth and had access to everything that they could have desired or could have imagined. It was said about Fir'aun that Allah Azza wa Jal extended his pleasure so much in his life that he never, ever, ever suffered a headache. Never. He never had a fever, he never had a flu, he never had a cough. A headache he never suffered. That was the level of delusion that Allah Azza wa Jal granted this man. And where are his effects now? Like, where is he in history now? This great king. You know, Percy Shelley, he wrote a poem when the British poet, when the British Museum had recovered a fragment of a statue of Ramses II. So Percy Shelley, he wrote a poem. It was inspired by this, that the British Museum was receiving this structure. And it was called Ozymandias, or Ozymandias. So I wanted to read to you this poem. There's a lot of hikmah in it. It's very beautiful, actually. And he says in it, you know, it talks about this concept of you, the fate of history and the ravages of time and how all ownership, no matter how magnificent, is simply going to go away. It's all temporary. He says, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read. So you have this face that survived, half broken, with a snarl on it, indicating that whoever was sculpting this recognized those passions well. So you've got this image of a menacing pharaoh, right? A wicked and angry person. He says, which yet survives, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing besides remains round the decay of that colossal wreck. Boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. That's all that remains. The lone and level sands. Before that, the Muslims poet said, "Ain al-muluk thu tijan min Yemenin, wa ain minhum akalir wa tijanu, ata al-qawmu amrun la marad lahu, hatta qadu, fakan al-qawmu ma kanu." Where are these great kings, the ones with the crowns from Yemen, and where are they, and what happened to them? Ata al-qawmu amrun, an affair happened to them, which was death. An affair happened to them that they weren't able to repel. And so they disappeared as if they never existed. How many kings of earth have lived on this in this land? How many queens? How many tyrants? How many great people? And history completely washed them away. We don't even know their names. So let's not be deluded with our own temporary, you know, subhanAllah, like we get so caught up with the lifestyles of the rich and famous and who's hot right now and who has 7 million Twitter followers and all of this. And we're like, man, this person is living large, and we forget that 20 years ago, if we were to simply ask our parents, 30 years ago, they'll tell us of celebrities who were like, who are you talking about? I've never heard of this person. And they're like, what are you talking about? This person was like, my life revolved around this person. And that's the way that it goes. All that remains is al-baqiyat al-salihat. That's all. You can't expect. Everything else is going to disappear. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who's the possessor of real mulk. Allah is the possessor of the real dominion. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the giver of that. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that on the day of judgment, there's going to be a man who's going to come out of the hellfire, the last person to come out of the hellfire. This person will have been in the hellfire for however long they've been in the hellfire, and then they are to come to paradise, but they find that paradise is full. Like every space is taken. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, all of us have gone there thousands and thousands and thousands of years before, paradise is full. You guys don't even want to say Ameen? Come on, man. The least that you can do is say Ameen. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that this man is going to enter into this person is going to come and find paradise full. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask him what he wishes, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will then tell him, after he answers, he will say, would you be pleased if you were to have the world, ومثله معه, and something similar to it as well, and something similar to it as well, and something similar to it as well, until he says 10 times. So this person will have 10 times of this earth, in its resources, in its places, its beauty, all of these things. That person will have 10 times. The last person to enter into Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ says that this man will say, "Oh my Lord, are you mocking me and you're the Lord of the worlds? Are you playing with me? Are you tricking me?" So this is the person who has the least share of the dunya. So what then about السابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون? What about the people who are there? What about أصحاب اليمين? What are they going to have? What are we going to have, inshallah ta'ala, when we enter into paradise? When this is the person who has the least of paradise. This indicates to us just a little bit about the dominion of Allah Azza wa Jal, the power of Allah, the sovereignty of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكَ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah says in Ali Imran, he says, "Oh, say, O Allah, you are the owner of sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from who you will." Now Allah Azza wa Jalla says, تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, you give it to whoever you wish, وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, and you take it away. And نَزْعُ indicates like you're grabbing it, you're pulling it away, right? You're pulling it away. Why? Because the default with regards to humanity is that once they receive something, they're not just going to give you a transfer of power peacefully. That's not what happens. They hold on to it. President for 4 years becomes president for life. Aren't you happy now? It says, no. تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You take it away. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give honor to whoever you wish, and تُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You humble whomever you wish. In your hand is all good. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You are able to do all things. Here are two beautiful comments on these two lines. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You have in your hand is all good, and you are able to do all things. When you're thinking about Al-Malik, 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 you know, these names, they're supposed to invoke things in us. When the Prophet ﷺ tells us a sifa, he tells us an attribute of Allah, or Allah tells us an attribute of Allah, it's not just so that we can say, oh, Allah is Al-Malik, He's the owner of everything. No, that's supposed to affect our relationship with Allah. If the Prophet ﷺ tells us Allah is Ar-Rahman, or Allah tells us Ar-Rahman, that's supposed to cause us to react and interact with Ar-Rahman in a certain way, that we have hope in His mercy. So what does belief that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the owner of everything, what should that be? What should that invoke in us? That's a question that I'm asking you. What should that invoke in us? Like, what should that make you want from Him? Or what should that make you ask of Him? The best? Okay. Anything? Why anything? Okay, because He's able to do all things. Like all things, or all, like, just kind of some stuff. It's true, man. It happens to us. I'll give you an example. I was with Sheikh Waleed in New York a couple weeks ago. And we were in Central Park. And Central Park has apartments that are overlooking it. And those apartments are, I don't know how many millions of dollars. You're overlooking the park right in Manhattan. It's super prime real estate. Amazing prime real estate. So I was telling Sheikh Waleed, I was showing him, I was like, yeah, this apartment is probably like a couple million dollars. This apartment is this. This apartment is that. Sheikh Waleed is like, Ahmad, would you like to live in an apartment in Central Park? I was like, absolutely. What are you talking about? I grew up. So he says, oh Allah, grant Ahmad an apartment overlooking Central Park. And he starts making dua. And I'm like, I mean, okay. So then he says, Ammar, he says, I ask you. He said, when you said Ameen, did you really believe it was going to happen? I said, absolutely not. So he said, subhanAllah, he said, when I made dua, I had full yaqeen that you were going to have it. I was like, okay, Ameen. But a lot of times, when we say, innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir, you're able to do all things. But in our hearts, we're kind of like, this is a little too much. that's not really going to happen. But again, it's about us having certainty, right? That you believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is able to do all things. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is able to do all things. And that the one that you are asking in His hands is the heavens and the earth. And that's something that we have to continuously remind each other and continue to practice until we believe it. And when it does, when we do believe it, its power, inshallah ta'ala, is transformative. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even before that, Allah says, Malik Yawm al-Din. Why is it Malik Yawm al-Din in particular? Like, Allah is the Malik of every day. But why does Allah specifically say that He's the Malik of the Day of Judgment in Surah Al-Fatiha? And the scholars have talked about this, but one of the interpretations I like is that because He's the Malik of the Day of Judgment in particular, in the sense that on the Day of Judgment, in the dunya, there are people who pretend to be like Allah. They pretend to have ownership with Allah. They pretend to be kings. They pretend to be, I am the King of Kings. People say that, even though the Prophet ﷺ said the vilest name with Allah is the person who calls himself the King of Kings. There is no king except for Allah. But you have people who call themselves the King of Kings. Go ahead, call yourselves the King of Kings. On the Day of Judgment, who's going to claim anything? Nobody. So He's the Malik of the Day of Judgment. Because on that day, no challengers and no competitors. None shall speak, not even the whisper, the challenges of that day. The terrors of that day will be enough of an inhibitor. Okay, so on the Day of Judgment, there's going to be no competition with Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَجِئَ يَوْمَئِذٍ Or Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَجَاءَ I'm forgetting the verse, but Allah Azza wa Jalla, on the Day of Judgment, there's going to be no competition with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, عن ابن عمر, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَطْوِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ السَّمَوَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ يَأْخُذُهُنَّ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ ثُمَّ يَطْوِي الْأَرْضِينَ بِشِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ Ibn Umar says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was on the minbar, he said that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to fold, or that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to place the heavens in His right hand, and He will say, "I am the King. Where are the haughty and where are the proud today?" And then He will fold the earth in His hand, and He will say, "I am the King. Where are the haughty and where are the proud today?" So, to conclude, al-Malik, the belief in this name should increase our hopes in what is with Allah Azza wa Jalla and our insistence in asking it from Him, that when we recognize that everything is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla and that He has the ability to grant us whatever He wills. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a beautiful hadith Qudsi, he says that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya Ibn Adam, or Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya Ibn Adam, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا على صعيد واحد فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. Allah says that, mankind, if the first of you and the last of you and the ins of you, mankind of you and the jinn of you all were to get on a single plane, 7 billion of us were all to stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we were all to ask everything that our hearts could conjure up and our wildest imaginations could imagine, and then Allah says, I weren't to say no to anybody. Everybody would get exactly what they asked, and multiply the 7 billion, add to that however many people have existed until this point and how many will exist until the Day of Judgment. مَا نَقَسَ ذَٰلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقِسُ الْمِخْيَطِ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحَرِ Except, that wouldn't take away from my kingdom except what a needle takes away from the ocean. That one drop that the needle will pick up from the ocean, that's what will take away from Allah Azza wa Jalla's dominion. If He were to give all of us everything. So who's the one that we were asking? And to recognize that everything that we could possibly want, number one, is that it's not great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whatever it is, it's not too big for Allah. And number two, that it's not too great for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And number two is that everything that we want, their hearts are controlled by Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught Ibn Abbas this. He says, "Idha sa'alt fas'alillah, wa idha ista'ant fasta'in billah." If you're to ask anyone, then ask for Allah. Look at how many people you ask in a day. You ask your job for a day off. You ask your parents for money. You ask your friend for a ride. You ask. You ask the imam for a recommendation. You ask your friend to look at your resume. You ask for so many things from so many people. And the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that if you're to ask anybody, ask Allah. And if you're to seek the help of anybody, seek the help of Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That if the entire world were to gather to help you with something, like imagine if a person had 7 billion people behind them. 7 billion people, you'd be super excited. You know, you create a petition and you find the next day that 100,000 people will sign the petition. How stoked would you be? And yet the Prophet ﷺ says that, forget 100,000 people, if the entire world were to gather to help you with one thing, they wouldn't be able to help you except with something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has already decided. And if they were to all gather to kill you, to harm you, 7 billion people, they wouldn't be able to do anything except that Allah Azza wa Jalla has already written for you. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, إِنَّ قَلْبَ مَا لِلْتَفَتَّ إِلَيْهِ بِيَدِ مَنْ أَعْرَضْتَ عَنْ إِنَّ قَلْبَ مَا لِلْتَفَتَّ إِلَيْهِ بِيَدِ مَنْ أَعْرَضْتَ عَنْ. That the heart of the one that you turn to, whoever it is, that person that you're seeking, whoever it is that person you're trying to persuade in your everyday life, never forget that person's heart is in the hand of the one who you turn away from. Make sure that the first that you turn to and the last that you turn to is always Allah Azza wa Jal, the King of Kings. This is with regards to Al-Malik. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. The next name is Al-Quddus. And Al-Quddus is really a name that your average Arabic speaker, they may not, you know, be able to figure out its connotations. It's not really used that much in regular conversation or Arabic. But Al-Quddus is mentioned as the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in a number of places in the Quran. One of it is Surah Al-Hashr, that same surah that we mentioned earlier that lists a number of the names. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ. So Al-Quddus is mentioned there. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in Surah Al-Jum'ah, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. So Allah mentions that everything exalts Allah Azza wa Jalla in the heavens and the earth, the sovereign, the pure, the exalted, the mighty, and the wise. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to invoke the name of Al-Quddus. He used to say in his ruku' and his sujood, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوس رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالرُّوحِ. So this is something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say. Quick tangent. If you go on to autopilot in your salah and you want to figure out a way to increase your focus, one of the quickest and the easiest ways is to just change up the things that you say in the salah. Just like, for example, when you leave the masjid tonight and you drive home, while you're driving home, you'll probably be able to talk on the phone and have a passionate conversation with somebody in the car with you, and you're not really paying attention to the road. But you end up in front of your house. The question is, why do you end up in front of your house? How are you able to end up in front of your house even though the last thing you're paying attention to is the way home? Exactly, right? It's a routine, it's regular, you've done it a million times. So you don't really need to focus on this particular aspect. I can allow myself to be distracted by a million other things because I know how to do this. However, if you're ever in an area of town, your GPS isn't working, and you're lost, are you still able to talk on the phone? No, right? You say, I'm sorry, listen, I got to call you back. I have no idea where I'm at. I think I'm in Dallas somehow. You're like, what are you talking about? But that's the power of being away from your routine. And so if a person, they've been praying the same prayer for 10 years. You know, I had one of my mashayikh, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, he says that when he used to teach Sunday school, he said, I used to teach, that this is a tip for Sunday school teachers. He said, I used to teach the kids to make dua for me in their sajda. They would say, oh, Allahumma aghfir li Muhammad, right? He's like, I used to teach them to say that. Why? He said, because I know Muslims, they don't change their salah for like 10 years. So the dua that I teach them to make in sujood, they're probably going to be saying that dua for like the next 15 years. And he said, I met one of my Sunday school students 10 years later. And he said, Sheikh Muhammad, I make dua for you in every sajda or in every salah. Okay? So, but this person's, Allah knows best, but that person's salah is probably, it's just automatic, right? It's completely robotic. So one of the things that you can do is to just change up everything that you say. And there are so many different adhkar that you can do. There's such variety in the salawat, in the adhkar. So here you have, you know, if you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, right? Or you say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, and that's pretty much your sajda, and that's your ruku'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. رَبِّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ used to say. When you get up from ruku', instead of just saying, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ, that you add حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ. You add more to it, and this will get you thinking again. Learning a new surah, switch it up. You know, get your heart quivering again. Do that, inshallah ta'ala, it will increase your focus. Then he says, when he would finish his witr prayer, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, سُبْحَانَ الْمَلِكَ الْقُدُّوسِ, سُبْحَانَ الْمَلِكَ الْقُدُّوسِ. And he used to say this three times, and he would raise his voice when saying it. The Prophet ﷺ would raise his voice when he would say it. What's the meanings of Al-Quddus? What does it mean? The first meaning, and the most apparent, is that Al-Quddus is the one who's free from all defects. He's pure. The Arabs, they used to call the vessel that they used to use to purify themselves, Qadas. And so Quddus carries the connotation of being pure from all defects. Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Quddus is the one who's absolved of all shortcomings, all partners, all associates. He's the one who's absolved from every attribute that is unbefitting of Allah Azza wa Jal and unbefitting of His Majesty. So every attribute that is not befitting of Allah Azza wa Jal is rejected because He is Al-Quddus. Even if that attribute denotes perfection in His creation. Like what? If a person doesn't sleep, is that an attribute of perfection or not? Not, right? If a person doesn't sleep, doctor Saab, aren't they going to be seeking some sort of cure from that? Insomnia, right? Now, however, with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, sleep is a deficiency. And so it's rejected from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah Azza wa Jalla says He's not affected by slumber and He's not affected by sleep. These things do not touch Allah Azza wa Jalla. With regards to Allah, they are a deficiency. And so, it's rejected. So everything that is defective, Allah Azza wa Jalla is pure from that. And that's one of the meanings of Al-Quddus. The second meaning of Al-Quddus is the possessor of barakah and the possessor of bounty. What does barakah mean? Barakah means ziyadatul khayr. Barakah means increasing in good. So you say a plate has barakah when it's meant to feed a single person, and here it feeds 10 people. You're like, man, this food has barakah in it. Okay, so barakah is when something, the good of something is increased. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is the possessor of barakah. Allah is the one who grants barakah. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who designates certain places to have barakah, or certain times to have barakah, or certain people to have barakah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla made the prophets blessed. Allah Azza wa Jalla made certain places blessed. He made Mecca blessed. He made Medina blessed. He made Al-Quds blessed. So He made the prayer in Mecca equal to how many prayers? In Al-Ka'bah. 100,000. He made the prayers in Medina equal to how many? 1,000. He made prayers in Al-Quds or Masjid Al-Aqsa equal to 500. So Allah Azza wa Jalla increased the blessings of these places. Allah Azza wa Jalla makes times blessed. So Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah blesses the day of Arafah. So Allah blesses these times, and He made actions within these times more rewardable than actions in other times. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who is the giver of blessings. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who blesses people's actions. He blesses their time. Allah Azza wa Jalla makes rizq blessed. So Allah Azza wa Jalla can make a person whose rizq is whatever He gives them, He makes it blessed so that it's enough to suffice them and even enough for them to bless others with that wealth. And yet Allah Azza wa Jalla can give a person a lot of rizq and strip away the barakah from it, and so it becomes a source of sadness for them, it becomes a source of stress for them, it becomes a source of lack of health for them, it becomes a trial for them and a hasra for them, a sorrow for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla can bless a person's life so that you find that a person dies at the age of 40 and they fill the earth with their legacy. Their legacy transpans centuries, millennia even, and continents because of some sort of knowledge that they spread, or some sort of justice that they established, or some sort of idea that they innovated. You have people like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. We've been talking about Umar Abdul Aziz as an ummah since he passed away. He died in 100 year Hijri. So over 1200 years, 1300 years, we've been talking about Umar Abdul Aziz. He died under the age of 40, or at 40. Someone like Imam An-Nawi, because of the justice that he established, you have someone like Imam An-Nawi, also under 40. The high estimates place him at 40. And yet this person, rahimahullah, Allah blessed his time and his life so much that literally every work that he wrote turned to gold. And the ummah just accepted it. The ummah, with all of its different groups and all of its different denominations and all of its different thoughts, every masjid that you go to, you'll find Al-Arba'een of An-Nawawi, or you'll find Riyad al-Salihin, or you'll find his commentary on Muslim, or you'll find something. And everything that he did, it just became the standard. Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses people. And so asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless our time and to seek out the blessed times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Burika li ummati fi bukuriha." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed this ummah in its early risings. That this ummah is blessed in the morning time. Also of the denotions or the meanings of Al-Quddus is he's the one who the hearts of the creation do taqdis of. They absolve him from all imperfections. And so he's the one who all of mankind and all of Allah's creation, the mountains and the oceans and the fish and all of his animals, the creation, they all make taqdis of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They all absolve Allah Azza wa Jalla from imperfection. They all praise Allah Azza wa Jalla. They all exalt Him. Wallahu ta'ala anhu. I want to just wrap up with as-salam, and this is going to be short inshallah, and then we'll be done. The meaning of as-salam. And as-salam is one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla as per Surah Al-Hashr. Right? So Al-Hashr, over the next couple of, at least next week, it'll also, all of the names will have been mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr. So as-salam means as-salim. And as-salim means the one who's secure, the one who's safe, the one who is unblemished. And Allah is salim in His that, in His essence. Allah Azza wa Jal is salim in His sifat. He's salim in His attributes. And He's salim in His af'al. He's salim in His actions. Meaning that there's no defect or shortcomings that touches them in any manner. Allah Azza wa Jalla's attributes, His essence, His actions, they are all free from defects. What do I mean by that? So they're free from all imperfections. So for example, He's free from imperfections in His ability. Like we talked about with regards to different groups who said that Allah Azza wa Jalla, like the Jews, who said that Allah Azza wa Jalla created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and then He rested on the seventh. Allah Azza wa Jalla is salim from that He needs rest. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Allah says, we created the heavens and earth in 6 days. Yeah. But Allah says, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. We were not afflicted by any exhaustion. There was no tiring. There was no need for rest from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from any imperfections in His knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jalla's knowledge is perfect. It's free from any ignorance. It's free from any hesitancy. It's free from any doubt. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the present and the future and the past, and they're all the same. You know, the scholars, they say about Allah Azza wa Jalla, before that, what Allah Azza wa Jalla says about Himself, He says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرُ مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says that He has the keys to the unseen. No one has access to them except for Him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا فِي الْبَحْرِ. He knows what is in the land and He knows what is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. There's not a leaf that falls except that Allah is aware of it. You know, in the fall here in Houston, when all of the leaves fall, which never happens, but in other places when the leaves fall and you just look down the street and all you see are leaves. Allah says every single one of them is accounted for. Every snowflake that falls, Allah accounts for it. And then He says, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. So this is something that's more appropriate. A grain of sand that moves or shifts. Any piece of dirt that you kick or is carried by the wind anywhere. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. It's all recorded from Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of that knowledge is there. The scholars say about Allah, يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. They said, Allah knows ma kan. Allah knows everything that has happened. You know, the Muslims, they started to talk about Allah's knowledge when Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf catapulted the Kaaba with boulders outside. He laid siege to the city of Mecca during the Khilafah of Abdullah ibn Zubair. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was the Amawi general of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And Hajjaj ibn Yusuf besieged Abdullah ibn Zubair at the Kaaba, and he started catapulting rocks at the Kaaba. And so the Kaaba was struck, and the Kaaba was damaged. And so Muslims began to think, and they were saying, hey, did Allah know that this was going to happen to the Kaaba? Or did He just find out like everybody else? Right? So this is the first time that people started talking about Qadr, like Allah doesn't know what's going to happen in the future. So the scholars, they said, Allah knows. And people began to ask Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Umar then went, when people met him in Al-Hajj, they asked him, and Abdullah ibn Umar, that question was the one that initiated Abdullah ibn Umar sharing the famous hadith of Jibreel. Abdullah ibn Umar said to them, no, tell them that I'm free from them, and they're free from me, and that they will not, if they were to give the entire mountain of Uhud in gold, Allah wouldn't accept that from them, that charity from them, unless they believed in Qadr. I heard Umar ibn Khattab say, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. And then the hadith of Jibreel is mentioned. However, with regards to what they know about Allah Azza wa Jalla, or what we know about Allah, the scholar said, يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ. Allah knows everything that is in the past. وَمَا يَكُونَ. Allah knows the future. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُونَ. لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. And He knows everything that didn't happen, if it happened, how it would happen. So all of the combinations and the permutations that you think about, if I wasn't born in the century that I was born in, if I wasn't born to the parents that I had, if my parents didn't meet each other when they did and they had married separate people, if I didn't have that sibling, or if I had really been able to trade them like I had wanted to trade them in elementary school, how my life would have played out, how every single decision that I ever, ever made, if I had picked any one of the multitude of other choices that were available to me at any point in time, how that would have played out. Allah knows how all of that would have played out. If I wasn't born into the family that I was born into, if I wasn't born the century that I was born into, if I wasn't the race that I am, if I didn't speak the languages that I do, if I didn't live in Houston at this particular time, I lived somewhere else, Allah knows how all of that would have played out, and that is mind-boggling. But that is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so we're comfortable in that whatever Allah has chosen for us, He is Al-Aziz, He is Al-Hakim, He's the Mighty, and He is the Wise. He's the Mighty and He is the Wise. So, He's perfect in His knowledge. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Have you not considered that Allah knows what is in the heavens and what's in the earth? There is no private conversation of three except that Allah is the fourth, nor are there five except that He is of the sixth. And there's no less than that and no more except that He is with them in His knowledge wherever they are. And then He will inform them of what they did on the day of resurrection. Indeed, Allah is of all things knowing. So anytime you're having a conversation with anyone privately, you remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the third amongst you, or the fifth, or the seventh, or however many there are. Allah Azza wa Jalla always makes sure that you plus one because of Allah Azza wa Jalla's presence. As-salam is the one who is free from lying or oppression. Allah says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا لَا مُبَدِّلِ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And the word of your Lord has been fulfilled صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا, in truth and in justice. None can alter His words, and He is the hearing and the knowing. صِدْقًا meaning صِدْقًا فِي الْأَخْبَارِ. Allah Azza wa Jal is truthful. His words are truthful in everything that He's narrated to us, and everything that He said will happen. It is in truth. And عَدْلًا, truthfulness, adlan fil ahkam. Everything that Allah commands from us is just. So this sharia that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated for us and all of its details, it's complete just. It's completely just. And I recognize that if it's praying five times a day, or if it's not eating this or participating in that, or not doing this or not doing that, that in me doing so, I am living a life that is completely good and pure, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is completely just and wise in what He legislates. And so that grants you a contentment, it grants you a happiness. As-salam, Allah Azzawajal is as-salam in what He gives and with what He withholds. So when Allah withholds something from us, we recognize that it's not out of stinginess and it isn't out of lack of resources. But it is out of Allah Azzawajal's wisdom. And it is Allah Azzawajal's rahmah that He gives His servants what is best for them. And also, as-salam is indicative of Allah Azzawajal's perfection. He made it the greeting between each other. He made as-salam the greeting between us. So Allah Azzawajal says, تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامٌ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَرِيمًا. Allah says that on the day of judgment, on the day where they meet Allah Azzawajal, their tahiyyah, their greeting is going to be salam. And Allah has prepared for them generous reward. And Allah Azzawajal says about us, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. But when you enter your houses, give greetings of peace upon each other. A greeting from Allah, blessed and good. The final thing that I want to mention is that as-salam is also a decree that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives. It's a status that Allah gives to His believing slaves. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, in Surah As-Saffat, He mentions a lot of prophets. Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Salamun ala Ibrahim. Salamun ala Musa wa Harun. Salamun ala Ilyasin. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying salam upon these prophets, and He's saying, and He concludes the surah. He says, Salamun ala al-Mursaleen. He says, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati amma yasifoon wa salamun ala al-Mursaleen. And salam upon the prophets. What does this mean? Or the messengers. It means that these people, Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed that they are going to be safe and secure. On the day of judgment, they're good. They're safe. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. Allah says, say Alhamdulillah. And salam, this security and this safety upon those slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla who He has chosen. And so this salam is a security and a safety that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to His believing servants. And that doesn't mean that they live these lives that we anticipate to be safe. Safety meaning on the Day of Judgment. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have lives that don't have turmoil or don't have fear or don't have problems. No, we know that the prophets, they lived lives that were very difficult. But Allah Azza wa Jalla cast into their hearts sikina, tama'nina. Allah cast into their hearts tranquility, rida, contentment with Allah Azza wa Jalla's decree. That made them living in a paradise while they were living on earth and while they were going through their difficulty. Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that there is a paradise in the heart that whoever does not experience it will not enter the paradise of the Akhirah. This serenity with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this contentment. And He's the one also who made this famous statement. He said, what can my enemies do with me? My paradise is in my breast. It goes with me wherever I go. My killing, if they kill me, it's martyrdom. If they expel me from the land, it's tourism. And if they imprison me, it's solitude with my Lord. So tell me, what can they do? And so this contentment that people have, where you actually love what Allah Azza wa Jalla decrees for you, it's a very high level, but it's a very sweet level. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he was a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the 10 who were promised paradise. And he was known amongst the companions as someone who was mustajab al-da'wah. Mustajab al-du'a. When he would make du'a, it would manifest immediately. It would just manifest immediately. The interesting thing is, when he became elder, he went blind. And so people asked a very rational question. You're blind. Why don't you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring back your eyesight? So Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, by Allah, me being pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for me is more beloved to me than for me to seek out my desires. It's very powerful. For me to be pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for me is more beloved to me than that. They have this contentment even with the trials and the tribulations that they have, they go through in their lives. So the name As-Salam indicates that Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from all perfections in every attribute and every name that you hear. And as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta wa ta'alayta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, you are As-Salam and from you is As-Salam tabarakta wa ta'alayta. You are the source of barakah and you are far above everything else. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بارك الله فيكم. Thank you for, I think we went a little bit long today. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, we're pretty much done. Okay, sorry.